hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So we are starting a new series tonight. Who's excited for a new series? So this series is called This I Believe. And our beliefs about God have a really big impact on the way we look at the world. So it's essential that we understand the essentials. So what are those absolutely essential beliefs that should form and shape us as Christians today? Wow, it's a big topic. Why on earth am I speaking on this? This has been an awesome opportunity for me to study this week. And I have, you know, been really challenged to study some areas that maybe I haven't studied enough in the past. And I hope that this will spark heaps of discussion, questions, maybe more questions than answers, but it doesn't matter because God will be here and leading us in our conversations. So let this message tonight just be the starting point of your discovery with God. So we're going to look at this thing called the Apostles' Creed. Excuse me. The Apostles' Creed is from the 4th century, 400 AD. It is a statement, or is it 300 AD? It's a statement of beliefs drawn from the Apostles' teachings. And it contains vital Christian doctrines and beliefs that summarize the gospel and ultimately make up the foundation of our faith. So each week in this series, we're going to explore an element of the Apostles' Creed and see how it shapes our faith and how it shapes our lives. So first of all, let's start by looking at this thing called the Apostles' Creed. I'm just going to read it out from the screen. It says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So this is the Apostles' Creed. Now, it was not actually written by the apostles, but it was called the Apostles' Creed because it represented or pointed to the most important or foundational themes of their teaching. So today, the Apostles' Creed is actually recited as part of the liturgy of many Catholic and Anglican, Methodist and Presbyterian church services. So if any of you have come from those traditions, that will be very familiar to you. And tonight, it debuts in the C3 tradition. Hopefully not a debut. Each phrase of this creed opens up for us multiple passages of scripture, multiple themes and ideas that we will be exploring. And tonight we're going to explore the first line of the Apostles' Creed, which states this, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. So there's two parts of this statement. I believe in God, the Father, and I believe in God Almighty. So we're going to look at God as a Father and God as Almighty in two sections. So the first one I want to look at. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. These words may sound familiar. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I remember where I was the moment I first heard that song. It was so impacting to me. And there's probably about 3 songs like that in my life. It's amazing how such a simple truth can be, a simple song can be a reminder of such a powerful truth. One of the reasons why this truth is so powerful is this. When we truly understand that God is our Father, it changes not just the way we look at Him, but also the way we look at ourselves. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am. This concept of God being a Father, it reveals so many cool things about His character, about the way He relates to us, and the way we can relate to Him. So let's spend a little bit of time exploring what it looks like to see God as our Father. And I'm going to look at three characteristics, and they are not all of them. But let's look at these three tonight. The first one is, God is a Father who loves his children. You are loved by God the Father. No strings attached. No terms and conditions. Just pure love. Let's read Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14. It says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are, and he remembers we are only dust." Now, I grew up in church, and on Sunday nights like this, we would have Sunday night services. As a kid, my dad, who was in the worship team tonight, was also in the worship team back then with my mum. And so we would go to church with mum and dad, and we would go to church in our pajamas with our sleeping bags. And we would lie down between the rows, and we would sleep during the service. And then after the service, Dad would pick us up in our sleeping bags and carry us outside to the car. And there were four of us kids, so it was a little bit of an undertaking. Then we would drive home, and Dad would pick us up out of our car seats and carry us down the pathway, up the steps of our house, upstairs, because we were on the second story, to our bedrooms, and put us in our beds. And sometimes, if I'm honest, I would just pretend that I was still asleep because I was just too lazy to walk. And I'm sure there are a few times when, Dad, you must have thought, "You're too big for this now." But he would still have compassion on me, and he would pick me up and carry me as I peeked through my eyes. You see, this love of the Father is much more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a love that acts. This love is a love that reaches out, that runs towards you, like the father ran towards his prodigal son. And he loves you, and his tenderness and compassion for you is so amazing. And ultimately, that tender and compassionate love for all of us was revealed by him sending Jesus. It's a love that acts. John 3:16 said, "God loved the world so much that he gave his only son." So God is a father who loves his children. The second thing that I know about God is that God is a father who leads his children. God the Father doesn't just love you, he wants to lead you. And we find this in Scripture, in Hebrews 12. We're going to read this passage of Scripture together. So we're going to read verse 6 to 8 and then verse 10 to 11. And this is in the Passion Translation. It says, "For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful child. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons." In verse 10, "Our parents corrected us for a short time of our childhood as it seemed good to them, but God corrects us throughout our lives for our own good, giving us an invitation to share his holiness. Now discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time, yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it." Now who here just loves to be corrected? Oh, there's a few hands. It's the best thing. It's just so fun. Like, I've got some photos of people who were having fun being corrected. The first one, can you just put it up, Georgia? This child is very upset that she can't wear her dirty underwear on her head as a hat. Life is hard. And the next one, this child is very upset that he can't finish eating dirt for lunch. Life is very hard for him too. Now, God as a father, he leads us and he corrects us and teaches us to love the things he loves and do the things he does. And just like the dad who tells their two-year-old that no, they cannot wear underwear on their head or no, they can't eat dirt for lunch, it's for our good that he corrects and teaches us. And he shows us the right path, not because he wants to make things difficult, but because he cares for us and he wants the best for us. So God is a father who leads his children. The third thing, God is a father who provides for his children. God is for you and he knows your needs. He knows your desires and he wants to provide for you. Matthew 6, verse 8 to 13. Your father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Isn't that cool? Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You know what? Sometimes I think he's just waiting for us to ask him. Yesterday, I sent my dad a text and I told him about some trees that were encroaching on our property. And yeah, they just take away all the sunlight. So it was really annoying. And we'd been quoted over $1,000 to get them removed. And I knew that Dad had a chainsaw and he might like to have a go at using them to cut down the trees, you know, like, could work for us, could work for him. Anyway, so I just randomly texted him that and there was no reply and I went off to my conference yesterday and I was out for the whole day and in the evening I arrived home and there was a surprise waiting for me. His dad had been there all day and the trees were all trimmed and the garden was tidied without me. Actually, my mum was there too, so she'd get a shout out because it was her birthday. But like, all I had to do was ask. My dad is for me and he wants me to succeed. He wants to help me get ahead in life and he doesn't want me to have to spend money on things unnecessarily. He is for me. And God is a father who is for you. He is always ready to provide for you. And he wants you to prosper in life and do well. Sometimes his provision, though, it comes in ways that we don't expect. Or maybe not in the timing that we would like. But he always comes through. So just to recap, God is a father who loves his children. God is a father who leads his children. God is a father who provides for his children. And now let's look at the second half of this statement from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty. God is Almighty. One of the songs we used to sing in kids' church when I was young was, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." Showing my age here. Anyway, the idea about, you know, God being big and strong and so mighty is like, yeah, of course, like, he's God. He's almighty. But what does almighty really mean? And where do we see it in Scripture? What are the implications for us who confess our belief in a God who is almighty? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Al Shaddai is translated as God Almighty. And this word or phrase speaks of God's all-sufficient, sustaining, all-powerful presence. And then if we skip forward from the Old Testament into Revelation, we see God himself talking to John and saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And later on we see there's four creatures who are crying out, day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And this word almighty here speaks of God as ruler of all, having authority and sovereignty over everything. So what does this mean for us? Well, if my God is all-sufficient, sustaining, all-powerful, ruling over all, having authority and sovereignty over everything, then he is worthy of my undivided attention, my reverence, and my devotion. He's not the type of God that I can fit into an hour on Sunday, a connect group on Thursday. He is God Almighty. He is worthy of all of my attention, all of my reverence, and all of my devotion. And how does that change the way I live? Well, it means that everything that God Almighty says and everything that God Almighty does deserves my full, focused, undistracted, careful attention. So when he speaks, I listen. When he tells me to do something, I obey. Every part of my life, every moment of every day, I should seek to think, feel, and act in a way that demonstrates my devotion to him. Now, as I was studying this, I really feel like we need to become students of the words and deeds of God Almighty. Like, we need to study them. Studying them and meditating on his amazing power at work in the world around us. Like, if we say God is almighty, do we know why he is almighty? Can we see him at work? Can we see his mighty works? Can we tell of his mighty works? Psalm 112, verse 2 says, "How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them." We're so fascinated with powerful people, like Elon Musk and SpaceX, as they grapple with creating the most powerful vehicles, both on Earth and in space. And then look at all the attention we give Donald Trump. Look at all the attention we give people like Kim Jong-un, however you say it, and Putin and Angela Merkel, some of the most powerful people in the political world. Look how much attention we give them. We are so fascinated by human power. What will be their next move? What have they done now? What have they tweeted now? What have they said now? Yet God Almighty holds more power than any of those people combined, than all of those people combined. And when it comes to actually saving the world, God's got it. He is the ultimate hero of the story, of our story, and no one else comes close. Even the heavenly beings in the throne room of God, that's all they've ever known. They continually cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," because of their continual revelation of God's glory, his mighty power and strength. It never gets old. So in the same way, we should become students of the words and deeds of God Almighty, studying and meditating on his amazing power at work in the world around us. And we should also rely on and fully trust in the power of God at work in us and in the world around us. And, you know, this is a bit hard for me because I'm a planner and I really like to be in control. So for me to rely on and fully trust in the power of God to work in me and the world around me, I have to stop relying on myself. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 8. Is a great reminder for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. So as we give God our full, undivided attention, as we become students of the words and deeds of God Almighty, and as we learn to rely on and fully trust in the power of God at work in us and in the world around us, this is what happens. We will no longer be driven by fear, but instead by faith. And even when we are faced with the reality of our own weakness, I love what Charlotte shared before, even when we're faced with our weakness, because it is there. It is our faith in God's almighty power at work in us that will sustain us. I love this quote from Timothy Keller. It says, "It is not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that saves you." Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. Even when we are faced with our own weakness, it is God's almighty power and our faith in his almighty power that will sustain us. So I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe this is saying that God is both personal and powerful. He is a loving Father, yet he is a mighty ruler, incredibly powerful, and sovereign over everything. And I think that the word for us tonight to take away and to respond to, we've covered lots of themes, but this is a simple word that God has for all of you tonight, and for me. We need to let God the Father love us as a starting point. Sometimes we put up walls. Actually, most of the time, let's be honest, we put up walls. And he wants to break them down with his love. Sometimes we worry that our stuff will be too much for him. But nothing is too much for his power to overcome. Let him break down any of the walls you have built. Let his tenderness and compassion flood into your very being tonight. Because there is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing too much for him. He is for you. He is here for you tonight. And sometimes the walls that we build were good for us at the time, because they protected us from dangerous people. However, when it comes to God the Father, you can let down your guard. You can lay down any disguises that were survival for you in the past. And you can let him love every single part of you. Every single part. And this is a lifelong journey of discovery. This is not one moment. This is every day. We cannot say, I already know the depths of his love for me. You might know his love, but there is so much more where it came from. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 18 to 21. This was his prayer for the church. And this is my prayer for you, for all of us. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever, and we say amen. Can you stand with me? Can I invite the band to join me? There is more of God's love to discover. It doesn't matter how long we have known that God is our Father. Tonight, there is more of his love here for you. And every single day of your life, there will be more to discover. You are loved. No strings attached. No terms and conditions. Just pure love. Holy Spirit, come right now. Lord, we are ready to receive your love. Would you come and break down the walls that we built to survive? And will you mend our heart where it is broken and bring us to a place where we can understand how deep, how wide your love is for us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.